Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that all of you are here. So we've got a really, really good show today. I love it when we can do this because it shows you firsthand how QHHT works and what is out there. You know, my mother had the books on convoluted universe and the three ways. I mean, look at all the things that she kept finding. And what I love is it's still happening. I mean, she may be in another dimension, but this work just continues to go on and all of this information continues coming in. So that's where I'm going to bring in my special guest today. And this is so exciting. So anyway, you all know Suzanne, right?
Hello.
Hi, Julia. And then she's got her special guest here. So I'll let you take it away, Suzanne, and just kind of go into here what we're going to do today.
Okay. Well, I am so excited to be here. So thank you for asking me, Julia. And it was just a thrill to bring these two guests along with me. They are fabulous. They were clients of mine back at the very end of August. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just a sec, but let me just tell you how awesome they are. These two women are amazing. They're scientists. When I got their emails that they wanted to have sessions, and I'm looking at these titles behind their names, I'm thinking, oh my, you know, sometimes we think when we're going to be working with people in a medical capacity or a scientific background that, oh gosh, you know, they might be a little challenging because they may be in that left brain a bit. No, these two women were amazing to work with, and the information that they brought forth was just mind-blowing, but their own stories are just so incredibly special. But what happened in the sessions was astounding, and really interestingly so dovetailed into your mom's work in such interesting ways. And then of course, you know, it's just always a kicker when you're doing sessions with two people that know each other, and then the information in both sessions correlate without one knowing what the other ones was about yet. Yeah. So we have a little bit of that
together all the time.
Yes. It just makes you, oh my gosh, makes you so happy in these sessions. But this is Eugenia and Veronica. They're coming from their office down at the University of Alabama, where they are professors. So I will introduce them as that and let them tell you a little bit about their background. So
thank
take it away,
Eugenia. Here, lady.
Okay, well, thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, Juliet. It's been a really great opportunity to know you. And of course, thanks a lot for having us here. Well, that was a special story when we found Suzanne, but the main idea that we're here now and we can share our stories and our experience. Veronica and I were scientists. So we got trained as chemists back in Russia. And I know Veronica from the college time. And I was a medicinal chemist, so we synthesized anti-cancer drugs. And after I got my degree in medicinal chemistry, I found a job in a company, then we keep working on those drugs. Then I decided I want to do something else, and I got a degree in linguistics and intercultural communication. So, and after that, it was an opportunity to come to the US to practice my English, because I was trained as an interpreter and a translator from German and English to Russian. And it just happened to be that it was an opening in the graduate school. So I got back to chemistry. And then I did an additional experience. Then I got additional experience in materials. Eventually, I'm here at UAB. And Veronica actually joined me later on. So we're both scientists who work on different types of biological materials to help people to heal, actually. So that's a background. Yeah, I would say it's a more traditional way to heal people, to help. We're not medical doctors. Our degree is in philosophy, but our research is in the biomedical field.
Super. So that in itself dovetailed.
and her study of languages becomes very interesting within the session on a whole other level.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
Okay. Veronica, would you like to?
Actually, I think kind of introduced us both. Mm-hmm. And as she mentioned, we know each other for a very long time, and we're kind of getting through all those, you know, steps together. And when she came here, she was the first to come to the US, and then she liked it here, and then she said, why don't you come here, and then, you know, we can, you know, continue working together. And then after some, you know, years of training, so now we're working together again. And as she mentioned, it's mostly biomedical field, you know, some delivery of drugs and everything, including different stuff, you know, DNA delivery and everything.
Love it. Super.
They're busy ladies.
Yeah. Very cool ladies.
Yes, very cool and busy ladies, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So another side note that's interesting is right before, well, soon, I think, before they came to Des Moines to have sessions with me, they took the online level one QHHT class. Okay. So they had been through that training, but I think had done one session on each other. Is that all?
Yeah, basically, yes, we would kind of try to give each other sessions. So if you count overall, so maybe like five sessions, but again, it's not on different people, but just on each other.
Well, that was going to be that kind of may be part of the reason I was going to ask, why did you want to have a session with Suzanne? What was leading into that?
Okay, so maybe I'm the one to talk about this. Actually, you know, everything kind of developed very quickly. So we were interested in different, you know, things like related to hypnosis. And at some point, I've been reading books of Michael Newton. And, you know, I kind of came across this, you know, notion that hypnosis can be healing. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, okay, so is there any way to basically learn how to do this? And I checked his, you know, site, and it turned out that they only train people, you know, who are professionally trained. So there's no way to get to that. And, you know, it happened really quickly. So as soon as I thought, so is there any way to do this? And then I just came across, you know, video clips of Dolores Cannon in YouTube, and found the website, checked it, and there was, you know, this, oh, if you want to learn it, so you can actually do it online. And it was very, you know, very good for us, because we're kind of busy. We cannot, you know.
Just a little.
Yes. And so I went for this class, and we've been talking, you know, together and discussing things. And she said, this is interesting. I'd like to, you know, go for that myself. And, you know, always, you know, this interaction and exchange of, you know, what do you think? What do you think? Do we want to? And then we decided, yeah, because if you want to know how it works, then you have to have it, right? You have to go for that yourself. So I should say that we kind of tried to find some practitioners, but then at some point we decided, okay, let's go with the best, and let's find, you know, level three practitioners. And of course we checked the website, you know, checked those who are around, and there was no one actually around us. And, you know, it's like, as they say, you should probably have a call. Like, you look at them, you read what they're doing, what are they, feel it, you feel cool. So that's what we felt.
And that's exactly what we tell people to do, exactly that.
I just emailed Suzanne, and she, you know, responded so quickly. It was unbelievable. And that's how it actually started. So Suzanne scheduled our sessions, and that was probably half a year between we scheduled and actually had it. And that was in August this year.
Yeah, well, I'd say we just got lucky to be on her list. And, well, it's just a great opportunity. I'm glad that we came to Suzanne first. Because you see, our minds, of course, are analytical, very skeptical. We're scientists. Our job was to doubt everything we see around. It's a very positive experience. It's very crucial.
Yeah, that's that scientific brain, I think.
You see, we're trained to use, you know, this part of the
analytical rationale. Yeah, but you see, a part of being a scientist means that just you need to be curious about new things and have your mind open. And, well, of course, as I tell my students, so there are no bad results. There are some discrepancy between the data, but if you're consistent enough, you have reliable and consistent data, these are good data. It can be just different distributions of your data, but they're good. So it means that learning something new, like the QHHT, it's a great, of course, opportunity to open your mind, broaden this, our mind. And we were trained as traditional, well, scientists, when you trust medical doctors, of course. But when I learn the technique, the more I learn about this, the more I'm impressed, of course. It's a fantastic, fantastic approach that I think is very complementary to the traditional medicine. About if it can replace it, probably it's the early, at least in our timeline, because some of the diseases, they give a karmic, or well, we need to live with them, like my glasses. And of course, we need medical doctors. just to help us with that, to make our life easier. But of course, the healing hypnosis, and from my experience, it's not just a hypnosis in a traditional method. It's something much more versatile, unique, and of course, that's the future. Well, as a scientist, I can say, of course, this method should be open to the public, and the more people know about that,
Yes, couldn't have said it better. Absolutely. You know, I have to tell you, you know, Julie, you know me well, but you know, when I'm sitting, you know, in this session across from these ladies, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna tell you what I think's going on in the brain. Like, what do you think? You know, it's just, you know, it's a whole other level of geekdom. You know, to have these conversations with people that are, you know, so amazingly educated in their fields and in this, you know, it's such an interesting segue of thought,
right,
to bring into this. And then, you know, just extra wonderful was that they had taken the class. So there was, you know, some of that knowledge coming in as well.
Yeah. Did you share with them how, what a geek you are on all this?
Oh, I think they probably picked it up.
They picked it up. Okay. Yeah. She calls, we have just a term for it, you know, Susan geeks out on these things. I mean, it's just geeking, you know, so things like that. So, cause all these parts of it, she completely analyzes everything of it, which is really, it's great because every time she does, it's like, wow, I see why she did this. I see why she did this. I see why this is done. I see it just keeps adding.
I have a new word for that. It's called Doloresitis. I have a mad case of Doloresitis, you know.
Well, I don't know if there's a cure for that.
I don't, you know, it's people like Veronica and Eugenia that, you know, help with that. But do you want us to tell you a little bit about what happened in these?
Absolutely. Let's proceed.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Okay. So I'll go over these little keynotes that Eugenia was a little more talkative in her session than Veronica. Veronica had, oh my gosh, just beautiful, interesting information as well. Somewhat both different, yet there'd be some similarities, especially when we got to the subconscious and started sharing that information.
Just real quickly, so it's not confusing. These sessions were done on two different days, correct?
The sessions always. Yeah. The sessions last anywhere from 5.5 to 7.5 hours or more. So always each session is done one day after the other.
Okay. All right. So,
okay. So once we began the hypnosis, we started right in. Usually it takes a little while to get them in, but Eugenia just dove right in. And so we started off in what she called a castle or a library, you know, and it's like, ooh, a library.
Library.
Like, love the library. Let's go look in the library. And we both started giggling because she was describing at one point what she was wearing, and she said it was like a Harry Potter hat. Like, well, but of course, we're going to have a Harry Potter hat in this library. I noted that it was very interesting because she was observing herself, and but at the same time, I believe in, you tell me, Eugenia, is you could see yourself as what you said as an 18-year-old and a 300-year-old person. You, both you.
At the time, or like it was like superimposed on each other, or what?
Just superimposed, yeah. Just two people in the room. First, I thought I'm that 300-year-old scientist or the person who knows how to read the books in that library. And me just trying to get that knowledge from him. So that was an interesting transition between two of us. But there were two people, well, I mean, two entities at least in that room that I associated with myself.
Okay. Okay, so the library, holy smokes, it was so great. So she's talking about this language in this green book that she's looking at, a book about her, but it was all in symbols, right, Eugenia? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were symbols that I had no idea how to read. But again, me as a little one, but the big one, the one who knows, he didn't tell me how to read it. So then I started thinking that I'm the little one, actually. I just looked, well, it felt like it was me because I didn't know how to read the symbols. But then I focused on them. Actually, Suzanne's session was really fantastic, the way how she led me through all those challenging points, because I was a little lost, of course, in that library. And I know that I'm supposed to read the books, but I had no idea how to do it. And then Suzanne asked me one question after another. Once I said, I just need to focus. And then she said, okay, when you focus, what do you see? And that was a magic question, because after that, it became so clear to me, because I just telepathically read those books, those symbols that were talking to me. And then Suzanne asked, okay, then you can easily read them. And I realized, yeah, I can. I really can read them. And I realized that that's the universal language that I'm trying to learn and develop at the same time. That's interesting how there is no actual linear time, at least in that session. Because you think it's the past, the future, and the present at the same time.
So you were able to sense that at that point. You were able to understand that whole mechanism of, well, actually be no time at that point, I guess.
Yeah, of course. And again, when Suzanne asked me, okay, what about if you now move forward a little bit in time? And I was a little confused. I didn't know what does it mean to move forward in time. And
then there is no time.
Yeah. And then she clarified, she said, okay, when you learn how to read the books, what happened after that?
Good question.
You know, it's like, you know, what this is like. I mean, you have to kind of be on you're on your feet, you know, and, you know, there's so many things that you're kind of balancing in the air, and I'm watching her. And when she seemed to like kind of get into that, you know, what's time? I'm like, oh shoot, you know, so I'm like backpedaling, you know, trying to get her going down another, you know, way so that she wouldn't come up. But she was such a trooper. She just, oh my God, the information just kept coming and coming. I really didn't have to ask that many questions. She just had so much to give. And so we started talking about this universal language, and then we move forward a little bit, and she's in front of a very large group. I'll let her describe the audience because that's quite entertaining. And she says that she's teaching a universal language to this big audience from all universes. These participants in the audience are. But Eugenia, why don't you describe your audience to our audience?
That was actually interesting. I tried to, well, of course, when I got back from that hypnosis, I started thinking about this like crazy, of course, just lying.
I know I'm making it all up.
Yeah, absolutely right, Julia. I thought I made it all up, but then I said, no, I must be too good to make it up.
How do you make this stuff up? Yeah. You know?
Well, and then I realized, no, there is no way I can do it. Then I thought someone probably was channeling through me. Well, it's still an open question, but the idea is that it's like you're watching a movie that you forgot. That's how my brain explained it.
That's a good way of describing
that
it.
That is a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know you watched it a while ago, but you forgot. And when I started watching this again, then just one action after another, it just, well, you start recalling all those things. And then you start thinking on the way. And that's why I thought I was teaching that language. But then later on, in a few minutes, when Suzanne asked me, "What do you teach them?" Then I was a little bit confused again, and then I started talking that weird language, all vowels. And then, well, I'm glad that Suzanne asked me to do that, because when my lab brain heard this, it got kind of shut down for a while, because he didn't know how to analyze this, and it opened this channel for the information. Then everything that happened after that, I was kept channeling, let the information flowing. Is that the audience is different beings from different planets, and it was a big council about the fate of our planet, including other planets on the periphery, behind the range, outside the range where the source can reach those planets.
Okay.
Just a little thing. Okay, so let me just for entertainment purposes, let me tell you that in the audience was beings that looked like trees, she said. Okay. And one had three heads, I believe.
Yeah, those are different beings. I couldn't quite describe them clearly because it was relatively dark. And then I realized that we communicate telepathically. And that was pushing my thoughts, and they were pushing their thoughts back to me. And the audience is different colors, different beings. I was really quite amazed with that. But then a sad thing came. Because when Suzanne asked this key question, so what is the debate about? What you're talking about? Then I started crying, and I realized that I was crying because it was a very important moment for the universe and for our planet. If they keep sending volunteers to our planet or not, because they give us enough opportunities, they give us enough chances, and now they're trying to see if they need to keep doing this, because from what that person who was talking through me, he called himself a guardian of our planet and the planet of that level. That level meaning dense, low frequency, low energy. And the idea was to give us an additional chance and to send us a couple more waves of volunteers. And that person, I cannot say was it me or someone else, but I remember his emotions, his feelings. That's why I started crying. That guardian, he loves this planet so much, and he really wants to keep going, helping us, helping people. Well, that's why that was a debate, and the opinions split and so on.
Yeah. So let me mm-hmm. add to this. So, from my point of vantage, this guardian that she's speaking of, she said, I'm the guardian of the planets on the periphery. And, you know, it felt as if we were talking to another being besides.
That's her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, sometimes we'll get that. We'll get people, right. We'll get beings, energy coming in, speaking through the client, you know, in the, it was almost like along that way, but you know, and she's talking about, she was the advocate for Earth, you know, for all of these representatives from these other much more highly developed universes who kind of said, you know, we're not getting, Earth isn't getting their act together. You know, let's just, you know, cleanse the planet and start over again. And Eugenia, or this guardian, was very well respected in this council. And she was the lone human representative. And one thing that she said that, you know, it took some time to kind of figure out why they weren't so engaged with this, like, was because she says she had emotions. She knew what emotions were, but these others don't operate with emotions. And so she could be very passionate. And there is, I think she said at one point, they don't even have faces, so you can't read them.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, that's absolutely right. And I just realized that it was our own representation in the so-called Senate or Council, the way how I called it. But anyway, so they listened to me, and well, as a guardian of those planets, and eventually I told this magic number that I still don't understand how it happened. I said that in 12 years, they will be here. And when Suzanne asked, is it a linear timeline, the guardian said yes. And then he kept repeating the same information. So in 12 years, we need to, they will come and they will make a difference. They can bring our planet or plane up to the higher level to get accepted to the council range. That's how we'll survive. They'll recharge the sun and so on. They will make us happier, okay? Our job, those who volunteered, including all the practitioners, including those who work with energy, healers, is to get our planet ready for those volunteers. So
this is something that's still yet to happen? Is that what you're... So it's like we've been having the volunteers coming, or was this something maybe before? I mean, what, did you get a sense of when this was kind of, even though we don't have time?
What do you think, Suzanne?
Well, I was listening to this session again today, and at one point she says that they're going to give her another 100 years. And then she says, no, she goes, it's down, it's 12 years. You know, 12 years, we really have got to get things changed around this. We've got to raise the vibration and frequency of the planet. That's essentially it. Now, so interestingly, though, and I'm not sure, Eugenia, if you had read much on Dolores and her information that she received about these waves, but this part of Eugenia that we're speaking with went into great detail about being the one that brings these volunteers to Earth. And so I, you know, kind of went into interview mode with, you know, how do you do that? And what is it like? And and she gave this beautiful description, Eugenia, you can describe it better than I can, of the chambers that she created of energy that brought the souls in that would be coming to Earth to help out with this big shift.
Well, that's actually funny. I did not read those books, but Veronica did. And actually, after my session, the guardian said that my session is to share with Veronica, with you guys, with everyone. Then she said the same thing that just Suzanne mentioned. There were so many information from those books that actually it convinced me that I was not making it all up. That was an actual information. And as Suzanne mentioned, what I saw, what I felt being a guardian, the way how the volunteers are coming to this planet, is that the guardian, he sets up chambers. Those are mostly, I would say, like stone made chambers, but he uses his energy to build those chambers. And an interesting thing is that I saw it in my dream one day, but the way how it works, those volunteers from different planets, these are beings, not just human beings, of course. They need to kind of calibrate their energy level. In other words, they get inside the chamber, and if they can, they will start experiencing a huge pain. And I also experienced it in my dreams. And if they can tolerate that pain, for a few minutes. They will put a sign on a wall that they will go to Earth. So that's the way how, and then when Suzanne asked the guardian, what does it mean? And then he answered that, well, this pain is physical, of course, but what happens in real life? The volunteers, they need to load them energy, their frequency, to fit into that chamber, because the guardian, he is getting those chambers through the earth, of course, he knew what was the vibrational level there. And those who survived that vibrational level, who was able to decrease the frequency, they were ready to go. And then when Suzanne asked what's going on there, and then I said, okay, all chambers are filled up. In 12 years, they will be here. Yeah. well, and I know it's still...
The books come to life here.
Yeah. Oh, don't they? Yeah. Isn't it just like more?
Yeah, basically, when we actually, I heard, okay, listen to this session, and I kind of suggested, you know, why they're doing this, because they have to lower their frequency to be able to match it to the one which you know, the Earth has. And if they can tolerate it, then it's possible they can actually come here. But then, interesting thing, and came from the session. So if they cannot do this, what do they do? They need to withdraw the application. That's so funny, you know? Like throughout this
other application,
this guardian was so like very, you know, interesting sense of humor, I would say.
And yeah, sometimes he was very pushy, and as Suzanne mentioned, he is the authority voice. Like he's being power. He is the ruler here. He is the one who runs, well, at least he's a part of a council. And that's an interesting personality. Then the council asked if we can have additional sessions with Suzanne. And Suzanne kindly agreed. So we're going to continue with that. So we'll see if we can answer more questions.
Or to be continued, is that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, get back from a trip, then my very first clients once I get back to the country are these two lovelies. So
that's it. Yeah.
I'm going to be. I've been debating about when to release part of the session on a YouTube clip, and I keep thinking there's going to be a lot more that comes. These two have worked together, putting each other under since our session, so there's even more material there. But I think. I don't know. I may try to release this before the middle of next week. So, you know, maybe we'll just have, maybe it'll be like different chapters, you know, and we'll have
more contingent parts.
Yeah.
Be wonderful.
But, you know, it was, you know, for those who study Dolores and read her books and you know, it was such a fresh perspective on, we talked about the volunteers so much, you know, from Dolores's work, but to hear from the one who brings in all the volunteers and how she helps prepare them to, because we hear so many, many times in sessions, so common that, you know, Earth is dense, it's hard to be here. And that's, you know, that's why so many of us just are like, what was I thinking? You know, this place is easy. You know, we all have that
over there.
Yeah. I made a bad decision to come here. But that really puts an interesting spin on things when you see that, you know, for those that are here to help raise the vibration, they actually had to go through a period of learning to lower their vibration in order to physically be here.
Right. So, I mean, that's something that Mom said in her books is like they were saying that the energies had to match. They were trying to get it to match the mother. That was the two had to match. And that's why a lot of times there's miscarriages, is because the energy wasn't ready yet. It wasn't just wasn't up there. But it sounded more like it was the human that had to raise the energies. But I guess maybe it's a combination. Maybe they're getting the energies up in the mother and then lowering them for them coming in. That would be a very delicate balancing.
Multi-leveled, you know. That
makes so much sense. You know?
Oh, it doesn't it though?
Mm-hmm. It does.
And, you know, and one of the parts that just made me giggle a little bit was when she was talking, I was asking her about the planets on the periphery, you know, the ones that she said were too far from source to get direct help, you know, and that's why the volunteers are coming to help, you know, be kind of the liaison, I guess, between that. And she's, what I took from that is that the planets in our solar system were just basically kind of naughty. And I think, did you say it was Mars that was the naughtiest? They're the ones that really got us kicked out. And dang Martians.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Guardian, the one who was responsible for those volunteers, he was recruiting the volunteers. He really wanted to continue with them because he saw hope. Well, I saw hope, of course, because I really, really feel that I would actually feel the same way if it happened to me. And then Suzanne asked, do you work together with Dolores? And the Guardian said, yes and no, because she's from another division. She's okay. Healing the souls. But I am one who is recruiting the souls. So, and then Veronica said, that actually makes total sense, because I asked her, is it possible? How could I heal the soul? And then she said, yeah, of course, it's all in Dolores' book. Well, anyway, I'm ready to read Dolores' books. I'm glad how...
I have some questions.
It's like different pieces of the puzzle from all the information, they're all coming together to show us the big picture. And we need to see it. We need to see it to keep awakening people up.
Well, you know, and that was such a big theme of these sessions, is that what an important juncture we are at right now on the planet, and that people have got to stop ignoring why they're here and what we're meant to be doing. And, you know, this beautiful Guardian, you know, just really like to say throughout the session how important it was, you know, if you're doing QHHT or if you're doing other energy work, do it. Get the information out there. And so, you know, this is why I'm extra thrilled to have them on the show, because, you know, I don't know, but I would think that, you know, that would take some thought, being in this academic situation that they're in order to come forward and talk about this. But thank goodness, you know, people like Veronica and Eugenia are willing to do so. And we've had others in classes and sessions that, you know, CEOs of companies and doctors and people that work in government. And it's just so, so important now that all of us find a way. I think QHHT is a fantastic way of not only helping ourselves to open up to all these possibilities, but to help others, because that's where we're at right now. We have to do this now.
Yeah, they're saying, you, when you were stumbling over words or anything, they're like, you have to be who you are. You have to be authentic who you are.
Yeah. So. And it's stepping out of many times it's stepping out of our comfort zone in order to do that. But I think when we do that, it's such a way shower for others. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I am so honored that you both came and you're willing to be on video too. Like I said, most, like Suzanne was saying, most people, they have their reputations, they have all those letters that, you know, all of that is, it's scary for them to put themselves out there like that. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because that you're being wonderful role models.
Well, thanks. I can say the same about you, both of you. In fact, to see now position, it's easier to be more willing to share what we know, because again, we are scientists and our mind is open to all opportunities. And as I mentioned, our field, our job is to help people through the training that we got in biological, in biomaterials, in developing new methods to help the biomedicine. I don't see much difference actually in terms of the approach. So the QHHT, that's a kind of, I would say, higher frequency method, which is very complementary to the biomedicine. It just, we need to work from different perspectives and to integrate this method, this technique, to the academic level, because as the Guardian mentioned several times, we need to train young people, and we need to open their minds how this technique should be integrated. because of course they need to learn about this method, and it will apparently bring people to a higher dimension. And the Guardian also mentioned that it's a mostly three-dimensional planet. If you add emotions, it will be the fourth. If you add actually time, it will be the fifth. So then you just keep going. You get multifaceted dimension, and all people are capable of doing this. They didn't see it. And our job is to help them.
Wake up. Like you said earlier, help them wake up.
Sure. And of course, it's not easy, because the scientists who know that it should be the right way to people's minds and hearts. And it depends on the audience, of course, the way how you deliver this method. So they would listen to you and they would believe you. And it depends, of course, on the people you're working with. Scientists, they're, of course, very critical, analytical. They have a lot of doubts, skeptical. But that's our job, to criticize everything, to validate the data. And, of course, the more information is coming about the QHHT, the easier it would be for scientists to validate it. Because, again, we just observe, analyze, then make conclusions. In our case, the conclusion would be, is it worth trusting? Is it worth our time? Should we fit it in our schedule? Of course, I guess Veronica and I answered the question, yes, we should do it. We'll try to help others to do it as well. Well, again, thanks a lot for this opportunity, and we'll keep working together with Suzanne and with other practitioners. I hope one day we can also get to the third level.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we had a great start right here. Okay, so, and then how did Veronica's session, you said it was complimentary and everything, so what was going on there?
Well, yeah, Veronica, talk about, you know, that sphere that you were in and your experiments that you were doing. Oh my gosh, they're good.
This is interesting, because the so-called past life, so there were images that were so kind of, you know, if I would be fantasizing, I would just, you know, think about something beautiful, like nature and everything. And then suddenly I start seeing those, you know, spheres, metal structures, some kind of abandoned, you know, facilities. And there was some, again, the one that Suzanne mentioned, a metal, like a sphere. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw myself in there, and there was something spinning. And she kept asking me, what's the purpose of it? And at some point, I couldn't understand. And then suddenly, I had this feeling, oh, that's how I release the information. And that was interesting, because, you know, that was so natural for me. Like, yes, that's what I do. I just go from place to place, collect the information. That's also kind of, basically, it resonates with what I'm doing now in this scenario. Mm-hmm.
We find that a lot.
Yeah. And how it resonates with my session.
Yeah, and then when it came to, you know, this higher self, there were questions, and when I listened again, so I thought, like, it would be easier for me, you know, to come up with something and then, you know, describe it vividly. And then here I find myself, you know, like, saying very, very concise, very brief, like, just without, you know, kind of expanding on the topic, that there is experiment. And I at this point, I still don't know what was it. And there is an experiment, and there should be, like, there is a decision to be made. So whether we continue this experiment or we need to stop it. And I think that's somehow, you know, kind of is related to what Eugenia was speaking about. And then I was mentioning Eugenia, that she has this information and she needs to, you know, she needs to come again and release this. And this is a very important information. And so many questions. They they said that they are irrelevant. I mean, my questions that I wanted to know. And it was very, again, weird for me because that word, irrelevant, it's so difficult to basically pronounce, especially for me.
For Russian speakers.
Yeah, for Russian speakers. And I said, I would never use this word. And yeah.
That was very funny because I had her list of questions and I'm going and all, most of them she doesn't need to know that, that's irrelevant, you know. I'd be like, but no, she wrote this down, she wants to know the answer, and nope, cannot know the answer, you know. So we had to, you know Dolores was really good at teaching us how to go around the back door a little bit to try to grab some information, it was so interesting because when she was focused on her experiment, I mean, it wasn't an emotional situation, but obviously it dovetailed into Eugenia's experience from a different perspective, so to speak. And then, you know, obviously it's so perfect that they're working together now, and, you know, so this work is just amazing.
Always talking about it, they're always doing experiments, and so yeah. Everything, you know, right. Everything comes down to an experiment that you're gathering the data and doing everything. But that's what they always called it when in mom sessions, the experiment. It's the grand experiment. So when you say experiment, I'm going to take it as the same thing because it's like the main. It's the experiment that's going on. And that'd be us.
That would be us. Well, you know, and I think too, you know, they talk in the sessions so often about the experiment and this big shift in consciousness and that we're merging the left and the right side of our brains and to become this unity consciousness, which this is what I was like so excited to talk to scientists about. But, you know, but what I'm seeing in sessions from the summer, I mean, quite recent, is that some of the clients are really experiencing after the session this integration into the subconscious or high self that knows everything. And, you know, I have one gal I was telling you about, Julia, that grew her leg 2 inches in a session. And she's a third year law student. And she was telling me a month or two after her session, we met up and she said she'll be sitting in a law lecture. And they'll ask a question and she's like, I totally did not crack that book open. I don't know it. And she says, my hand just goes up and they call on me and like the perfect information comes out of my mouth. And I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. But she said, she's like, she's always now hearing her subconscious speak. And it's really changed life in the most amazing ways. So for her, you know, I was all excited about her growing her one uneven leg 2 inches.
Sure.
And she's like, oh, that's nothing. You know, but this is, you know, I think this is where we're at with the sessions and where the potentiality of this huge leap in human evolution is occurring in front of our very eyes with amazing clients like these two women and the others. I truly do think that the people that are coming in for sessions now are the rocket boosters into 5D and beyond that are going to be integrating faster and bringing the others. So it's when they walk into an office, you know, for a session, I'm just like going, okay, who's ready now? You know,
where are we going today? I was going to ask, right in the beginning, that's what was coming in. Be sure and ask them if anything has changed after the sessions, if they had anything like this happen. So that's interesting that you said that. So have you noticed things, anything different with yourselves since your sessions? As far as... Yeah, communication and higher self, you know, communication.
Well, honestly, I did not, but I know the answer. I guess when Suzanne asked if I'm connected with my higher self and how I can be connected, the higher self said she is always connected. So I guess, but what changed? I think my left brain changed a little because it became more, well, flexible, understanding and curious about things beyond science and about something that actually, well, at least it's easier for me now to negotiate with it and try to analyze the data that I'm getting from the sessions, from my sessions, from Veronica, from other sessions, and how to, well, I still keep putting them in different patterns. And as Suzanne mentioned once, that she's a scientist, that I agree with her, because what you guys are doing, you're just accumulating data, you're getting the information from your clients, and then you think about this anyway, because each client is different. And you need to tweak your approach a little bit every time. Well, there is no perfect way to get, there is no universal way for now. It all depends on the client, of course. So, and every time you do the science, you're accumulating your data, you're analyzing them, and you're making the decision. And then you keep going with that. So that's, I would say, the changes that happened to me. I started being a scientist on a different level. But I hope I would speak another language.
I mean, you can't undo that. You can't unlearn it. You can't. It happened.
So. Yeah, I was healthy when I came in, and but I got very curious and motivated, and now actually answered my question: why I really always care about this planet. I asked people around how I can help the humanity being more humane. And now I understand at least why I care, because I'm one of the representatives, one of the parts of the guardian that wants to help our planet. Mm-hmm. So,
you have a really big role. I mean,
that can't be understated enough.
It's like it's kind of important to you.
I know.
It's a big deal. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, but there is actually one little thing that I recall now. When I, after Suzanne's session, I was depressed with all the responsibility on my shoulders now. She tried to come make it easier, saying that, yeah, you're not the only one, of course. There are people working on that. There is a huge movement in that direction. But I still felt, how can I help? And what happens if we fail? Okay, this is my left brain, of course. That's how we're trained to be, we're scientists. We're not trained for failure. We need to win, because we need to find a way. That's our job. And then Veronica put me under, and I saw an interesting, that was a vision when I'm on a planet. And I'm not one of those on the planet, but I see it from the distance. That there are workers who are making that planet ready for life, for volunteers to come. And when Veronica called my SCM, it said that that's for Eugenia to remember that there will be always life in one form or another. So just do your best. Don't think about failed what you're doing, but just keep going. And eventually, your investment will be awarded, not the way maybe you think, but there will be always a good outcome from what you're doing. So that was probably was what changed with me.
I bet that took tons of pressure off of you.
No pressure at all, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was good. My goodness.
Yeah, that was, you know, because I mean, you think about that. I mean, you can really take that to heart, that, you know, all of this is on your shoulders to get out there. And, you know, that doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help Eugenia. It doesn't help humanity, you know? So, we see life through such a small window at times, right? But it's so much bigger than what we're usually aware of. Right. So, you know, I think I was so happy to hear that she got that information in the second session, or in the session with Veronica, because, you know, in order to do this work, we have to have a very high vibration and frequency, and, you know, you can't get drugged down. You've got to just keep doing your best. And, you know, thank you, Julia, for allowing us to be on the show, because I think this helps, you know, in that capacity to get the word out, and we'll get a YouTube clip or more up, you know, and we'll get the word out more. And, you know, just like how Dolores finds all of us, you know, eventually it seems, the right people at the right time, watch the right clip, mm-hmm. go to the correct website that helps awaken them. And, so all parts are important.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's when it finally breaks through. 'Cause they've said, you know, they're always communicating and trying to get the messages. It's just, finally, when we finally connect the dots, I think, and it breaks through and we get it.
So well, and that's what I think is so great about the QHHT sessions, because we're helping them get that actual connection to that part of them that knows everything. Then they have had this experience of knowing what that was like to trust mm-hmm. it, because I think we get that information often, but we tend to dismantle it mm-hmm. and disregard it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these sessions are just beautiful in millions of reasons, but they give that understanding of what it's like to be in that deep space of trust, allowing that information coming in. And when we can have that in our awake state after the session, then we can get through life much easier and help more to raise our vibration.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better. That's perfect. Absolutely. I'm surprised the time is up. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Every time. Like, what? I forget we're doing a radio show.
We're just talking. We're having fun here. So, and I just want to thank you again. And again, you were thanking me. It is my pleasure. This is why I'm here, I think, is to help do things like this, as well as they're saying it's multi. So there's so many things going on. So it is my honor and my pleasure to bring information like this and have you wonderful ladies on here. And just, oh my gosh, this is going to be so wonderful. And have you noticed that light burst that's been in?
Yes. Between Victoria and Veronica. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So cool. I think that kind of says it all. It's right over their shoulders.
It's like, yeah.
I'm sorry for that. Just that's how my brain works. Okay. Just so you know. So anyway, back on to your, thank you again so much for being here and sharing. Real quick, would you want to give out any information if people wanted to contact you? I mean, that's up to you.
Yes, I'm on the forum. I'm going to, of course, yes, of course. They can, I will send a message through the forum. They can always contact me, of course.
Fantastic. Okay. Wonderful. And Suzanne, you've got your plethora of contact.
I do. Yeah. My easiest contact is my website, and it's just Suzanne Spooner, QHHT.com. And then you can email me from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Veronica, you have a different contact that you want to do, or? I'm not pushing. I don't want you, if you don't want to, it's perfectly okay.
I can do this, of course. I also have, anybody can contact me through forum as well, because okay. I'm registered.
Wonderful. That is fantastic. And so thank you again so much for being here. And I really look forward to the furthering sagas.
Yes.
Chapters of this story.
Yes. We've just begun.
Absolutely. This is so wonderful.
Do you want to mention where you're going to be?
I'll do it really quick. In a week from Monday, I will be in Hawaii. And we're doing a series of classes in Hawaii with this whole adventure that we're doing there. And this was started with our adventure that we had last year. Well, it was in August, wasn't it? We went swimming with the dolphins, and that was such a cool experience. And then this whole thing has come from that. It was like just from me and Kaya just going out and swimming with dolphins with some other friends of ours. And then now we're having a whole lot more friends to be there and enjoying this experience. We're going to have classes, and we have dolphin swims as well in there, and some other cultural events where we're learning about Lemuria and just really, really cool stuff. So
high vibe classes.
Absolutely. So you can find out more about that on QHHTofficial.com. All the information. Anyway, I love you all. And so glad that you were here with us and with me. And I'll see you next time. I love you.
All right. See you later, Julia.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you both. Bye.
Bye, ladies.
Thank you. Bye-bye.